WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and it's fall. You can certainly feel it in the crisp air this week, right? And we're pulling out our sweaters from the back of the closets. Kids are going to school, and earnest young college students have started their semesters by marking up their new course syllabus. And wait, what's that word? Heuristic? Pedagogy? Irony? It is also, therefore, the season in which college students start to look up academic words, and thus Merriam-Webster's top 10 list of big words on campus was born. Joining me now to talk about their list of words that college students look up most frequently is Peter Sokolowski, Merriam-Webster's editor-at-large. His Twitter feed, by the way, was named by Time Magazine as one of the best of 2013. Hi, Peter. Welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, it's great to hear your voice.
And listeners, the phones are open for your calls. If you're a student, what's the last word you looked up? 212-433-WNYC. If you're a college professor, what words do you commonly assign? Which seem to mostly lean toward cultural literacy and the liberal arts, perhaps? Are these words on the list that we're about to hear, like heuristic and pedagogy and irony, typical of what comes up in your classrooms that you want students to seek out the actual definitions of? 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692. And let's start with your number one word, culture.
Yes, the word culture. We've been noticing for a few years that that's the big spike on Labor Day, and it stays up high for the whole month of September, in fact. And what we see is there's kind of a seasonal pattern to traffic on the website at Merriam-Webster.com. The dictionary is free, and we get more than a billion page views a year. Hmm. So that's a huge amount of data. So now the dictionary is data, and we can read it. In other words, not only can anyone look up word, but we now know which words are being looked up.
So what's happening on Labor Day? Is that freshman orientation?
Exactly. And it starts just before the end of August because, of course, a lot of colleges are assembling right at the end of the summer. And so culture has been this bump. We've noticed it for years. And then we started looking into these other terms that we associate maybe with college, with education, with the beginning of an academic career. And we noticed that they all show similar, smaller spikes at the same time.
How about irony, your word number two? Why does that come up so much?
Well, I think right away you get these words that are fairly commonly used in English but are suddenly very specific. The professor may use terms like irony or a very broad term like rhetoric, and it's clear that they're being used in a very specific way. Words like culture, which is such a broad term in English, nobody really thinks about its spelling, for example, or its pronunciation, but it's used, for example, in the title of your textbook or the title of the course itself, and all of a sudden we see that this term culture has become really kind of a buzzword in our academic system. It used to be that you sort of had an education that was about the individual and society, for example, but today everything is culture.
How does Merriam-Webster define irony?
The use of words to express something other than and especially the opposite of the literal meaning. But I have to say, you know, that term ironic is often used to mean something else, isn't it?
Yes, you mean express kind of an attitude toward the world of not accepting things earnestly?
Right. Or even it's often used simply to mean coincidental. You'll say, oh, that's ironic. And really what you mean is that's sort of strange or funny because it happened in a way that was different from what you expected. But absolutely, that worldview of irony is kind of a modern sort of hip and even sort of humorous view on the world.
Now, words 3, 4, and 5 on your list of the ones that experience the biggest surges of lookup once the fall semester begins seem to be all related in a way. Metaphor, number 3, rhetoric,
yes,
number 4, and allegory, number 5. Maybe these are words that come up in literature classes early on?
Absolutely. And again, you're maybe a college freshman, and suddenly these terms that might have been kind of hazy to you or maybe are brand new to you, suddenly you are responsible for knowing them and using them and deploying them accurately. And so that's why people turn to the dictionary. I think it's fascinating to see that these are very broad and sort of very traditional academic terms.
If I had him back for 2 minutes, I would get Noam Chomsky's definition of rhetoric and compare it to Merriam-Webster's.
That would be fascinating.
But we don't have that luxury. All right, let's hear what some of our callers have as words they've looked up this fall term or assigned if they are professors. And Christine in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Christine.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a college professor, and the word I like to work with my students is ambiguity.
Why?
Well, I teach freshman English courses, and a lot of at the community college system, and many students are not comfortable with ambiguity, and ambiguity is a big aspect of analyzing art, analyzing literature, and part of the college task is to help the students learn to tolerate ambiguity, which is a concept that the University of California Faculty Senate defined. So I love dealing with ambiguity and introducing my students to the concept.
Thank you so much. Scout in Toms River, you're on WNYC. Hey, Scout.
Hi, Brian. I'm calling about the most recent word that I looked up,
yep,
and it was gregarious. And I actually just want to speak to the notion that I don't think people are very interested in general at, like, learning words. And I think that's why it's, like, so tough, you know, and, like, people are always gripping for, like, the nice academic words in the beginning of the semester. I really look actually forward to the summer when I don't have things to, like, interrupt me. And I look up words probably, like, 3 or 4 a day.
Hmm. What was the context that caused you to look up gregarious?
Well, me and my friends have kind of, like, conversations about society, and I wanted, like, a good word to describe what I think of, like, most people being, like, overly social and, like, too socially involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stumbled on that. That's what I like about the thesaurus. I could put, like, a broad concept or think of a word to describe a broad concept.
So to use it in a sentence, according to Scout, we live in an overly gregarious world.
Yes.
Scout, thank you. Call us again, please. Marwan in Queens, you're on WNYC. You have a word that you looked up?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
It's kind of into a phrase, the word suffice, specifically used suffice to say.
Mm-hmm. And you told our screener you had a professor who was using that word constantly?
Yeah, I had this professor that was like a year older than me, but talked very complicated. And after everything he said, it suffice to say.
And
really knew what it meant.
Do you get it now?
Yeah, kind of. It's still kind of
like it's enough.
I don't know. I think it's just something that you just throw in to a sentence and it just works. It makes it sound good.
Yeah, do you have a lot? Thank you, Mara. Do you have a lot of those in Merriam-Webster words to just throw in because they sound good?
Well, we hope not. We hope that the collegiate dictionary, which is what our online dictionary is based upon, represents the current active vocabulary of American English. That is to say, words that are used and are likely to be encountered by an adult who reads a lot. And so words that become very obsolete or archaic, they stay in our unabridged dictionary, but the collegiate stays current.
John from Long Island City writes on our comments page, I was already a junior in college when I learned the hard way the meaning of the word parietal. Am I even pronouncing that right? P-A-R-I-E-T-A-L. He writes,
he was in an accident.
My companion asked me, what are the parietal rules at Amherst? I said something ridiculous and changed the subject. She was asking, of course, what were the rules for the hours when women and men could be together in their campus living quarters? Years later, it occurred to me that my social future might have been much different if I had caught the meaning of her question. Eric in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eric.
Hi, good morning. Always listen to this show, thank you.
Thank you.
I taught college at the University of Michigan in sociology, and I almost always had to send my students to look up the definition of the words country and nation. It's not just that in the academic setting we see this problematic, but I hear it on the news all the time. So yesterday there was reference to a building being in the nation. And I'm wondering from our guest from Webster's whether or not nation has now essentially become a synonym for country as opposed to its own maybe problematic definition.
Eric, thank you. And we have 10 seconds for this answer.
Well, I remember, you know, JFK made that distinction in his famous speech, Ask Not. And, you know, nation being more political, country being more social. But the fact is most people probably do conflate them.
And we thank Peter Sokolowski, Merriam-Webster's editor-at-large, with these 10 words that surge in lookups when college is back. And you're in D.C. on your way to tonight's Congressional Spelling Bee, and we see that Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut is competing tonight. Karen Tumulty of The Washington Post, Major Garrett of CBS News. Can we watch?
You know, I'm not sure if C-SPAN...
All right. We will try to find the results of that spelling bee tomorrow. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.